Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, I am doing my re-review of the Steelers-Eagles preseason game. I had a chance to go back and re-watch the game. Not as in-depth as I would like. I like to re-watch the All-22. That gives you a better sense of kind of what was happening, not just what they show you on TV. Unfortunately, they don't give you access to the All-22 camera for preseason games, and so I was limited in this re-review to just going back and watching the TV angles, and that can be difficult, especially as we're talking about coverages and certain players in the secondary like a Terrell Edmonds. You just don't get to see as much of them as you would like. I still have a lot to go over today, though, especially on the defensive side of the football. The Steelers put some bad tape out there. They really did, and it starts in the front seven. Look, I know that this wasn't the full complement of starters on defense, but there were enough out there, and this was some poor play from the Steelers. I'm not ready to pass judgment on this team, but what I do want to say is, look, this is disappointing from a team that has spent the offseason talking about how much better they want to get, especially in that front seven, especially as becoming a better team against the run and a better tackling football team. We did not see that against the Eagles. We're going to talk about all of that tonight. Let's start today with that really weird Deflategate story that happened. The NFL investigating a football in the third quarter after Howard Eskin reported this on Twitter. He's a sports radio guy on Philly. He said, quote, "During Eagles-Steelers preseason game, there was at least one Pittsburgh football found that was very deflated. The NFL has the football and is investigating. I saw the football after incompletion, and it was like a marshmallow." I really love, by the way, the description of the football, like a marshmallow. That's really cute. I just don't understand why this even blew up into a thing, right? Was there any doubt that this was going to be something other than a problem with the football itself? And thank goodness for the NFL for making this an open and shut case and coming out with a statement right away that said, we investigated and we found that it was a defective football. It was removed from play. We're sending it back to the manufacturer to see what happened. What was the alternative here? That there's some kind of master plan for the Steelers to be cheating throughout preseason? Or that Mason Rudolph is risking suspension or trying to look better by deflating footballs in a preseason game because he's worried about he's going to make the roster or not? I mean, he's a third-round pick. He's the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger at this point. Again, there was no logical explanation for this other than the ball itself is defective. I mean, that was really the only explanation. This was silly. And I'm glad the NFL made this an open and shut case very quickly. Let's also talk about who played and who didn't, because we didn't really go over that yesterday. And I thought there were some interesting guys who had sat out multiple practices coming into this game that actually were able to get into the game and see some time. So on offense, obviously there was no Ben Roethlisberger given the day off. Antonio Brown still coming back from that hip injury. Vance McDonald, of course, still down with that foot. No word on when he's going to be back. Pouncey was given the day off for rest. Gilbert, actually Marcus Gilbert, the right tackle, his wife had a child, so congratulations to him. And then Ramon Foster, of course, remains out with that knee injury. Marcus Tucker, who only practiced on Tuesday in a limited capacity, did come back and play the whole game, played on special teams as well. We talked about him yesterday, had a couple nice catches, but an even better performance on special teams. And then B.J. Finney, the guard who is replacing Ramon Foster, he went down with a quad contusion. That's probably going to keep him out for a week or two. Hopefully he can be back for the regular season, though. That's the big thing there with Finney. Again, he's replacing Ramon Foster on the offensive line as a starter. So we're definitely going to need him back by the opener if Ramon Foster can't be back by the opener. Matt Filer came in, though, for B.J. Finney and looked very good at left guard. We're going to talk about him today. On the defensive side of the ball, still no T.J. Watt, trying to come back from that hamstring injury. Bud Dupree still has that concussion, although he seems like he's getting better. He was jogging during Tuesday's practice. Joe Hayden, who had just recently come back from injury, he was given the day off for rest, probably smart for him as a veteran player. And then Cam Hayward also given the day off for rest. Keon Adams and Brian Allen, both of which, one of them either didn't practice or was limited, both those guys on Tuesday, they both came back and played the entire game. And I thought both guys had pretty good games. Brian Allen had a nice pass breakup. Keon Adams, I thought in the second half, had a very underrated game as far as a pass rusher. We're going to talk about him today. So good on both guys for getting back, and hopefully now they'll be full participants in practice as well. Before we get to today's tape breakdown, let me tell you about our sponsor for today's podcast. Vivid Seats, an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that will last a lifetime. And if you're a Steelers fan, you owe it to yourself to get out to Heinz Field, especially in 2018, where We talked about the Super Bowl window closing for this team. It's still very much open in 2018, and so many marquee matchups happening in Heinz Field this season. You got the Kansas City Chiefs coming to town in the home opener. Remember, the Steelers have done so well against the Chiefs, but they've got Patrick Mahomes now, the Chiefs do, coming in a new quarterback. You got the Falcons coming to town. You got the big marquee game against the Baltimore Ravens. That'll be a Sunday night game this year. The Panthers are coming to town on a Thursday night game. And then, of course, the big one in December is that matchup against the New England Patriots. And what I love most about Heinz Field is that no matter where you sit, I've sat in the upper deck many times. It's great seats up there. You can see the entire field. I've sat, you know, at the 40-yard line, 50-yard line, all the way over. I sat at the 5-yard line for the Jaguars game last year. Still great seats. There's really no bad seats in the entire stadium. And Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Steeler listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code Locked On. That's Locked On, all one word. It's for new customers only, and the offer is valid through the end of August. So go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter the offer code Locked On at checkout to get 10% off your first order. The offseason is over, the NFL is back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get to the game. All right, and then let's do our tape breakdown for Steelers-Eagles, and we'll start with the good. We'll get to all the bad tape and all that with the defense a little later. Let's start with the running game, because we talked about this last night, but it was surprisingly good, you know, without Le'Veon Bell. And the other thing that really stuck out on this re-review was the fact that there weren't so many starters on the offensive line. There were times where Filer was in the game and Finney and Chooks. You know, again, with Pouncey and Gilbert having the day off, you didn't have your full complement, and yet it really didn't affect the running game in any way. You know, Connor had a great night. What I loved about Connor is that he was so slippery and getting skinny through the hole, fighting for yards after catch, falling forward. He was a guy who last year looked a little small. This year, not the case, and he's got a great burst. You know, I know he definitely earned the hype he got last night. And then Fitzgerald Toussaint, I thought, had a very good game as well. And what I liked about Toussaint is this newfound patience that he has, especially on that touchdown run he had. Looking a lot like Le'Veon Bell out there with that patience. You have to wonder how much Le'Veon's game rubbed off on him. And then for Stephen Ridley, I mean, again, we talked about this yesterday, but just how good he is as a receiver. And really for him, it was all about yards after catch and being able to be there as kind of a bailout for the quarterbacks in this game. But not just that, but catching the ball and then making guys miss and getting those yards after catch. That was big for him. I know I said it on yesterday's podcast. It bears repeating. The backup running back spot in Pittsburgh is overloaded right now, and I don't know who the Steelers are going to pick. In fact, for Jalen Samuels, it's tough, man, right? You got Ridley and Toussaint playing very well right now. On the offensive line, I thought Chooks and Filer were the real standouts there. Chooks has a tendency to be too high at times, and so defenders do get low and force him backwards, but he does a good job of using his frame and using his strength to hold defenders off. It's not perfect technique. He definitely has a ways to go, but again, no big mistakes for him last night. And then Filer, I thought, was terrific. He was a great run blocker. He sprung a run for Connor in the first half and then was instrumental in breaking out Toussaint on the two-point conversion. I thought he looked very, very good. And again, he's a guy who has some position flexibility playing at guard and tackle. This is a good outing for both Chooks and Filer. Now, on the negative side of the offensive line, I thought that third string interior line, they really struggled, especially late in the game. That was Parker Collins, Patrick Morris, Larson Graham. And I know you're probably thinking, who cares, third string offensive linemen. They're not making this roster anyway. But when you start to consider some of the injuries that we've been having on the offensive line, now we've got Foster down. We've got B.J. Finney down. Both should be back for the regular season, which is good. Remember, Villanueva's gone down for a little bit. You know, the Steelers have had their fair share of injuries so far on the offensive line. So, you know, again, you want to see guys like Collins and Morris and Graham playing well and earning a spot on the practice squad at least, so that if the Steelers do suffer injury, that they can go to one of those guys on the practice squad. I thought for Collins, Morris, and Graham, you know, that was a poor performance. As expected, we saw really vanilla play calling on both sides. I know a lot of us were excited to see a dollar look from our defense, the kind that we've been seeing throughout camp with that seven defensive backs. I wouldn't expect to see it really at all in the preseason. Cam Sutton and Mike Hilton both saying that this is something the defense is really going to hold closely until the regular season. So, you know, really don't expect to see it at all in the preseason. And offensively, it was pretty vanilla as well, except when we ran the option on the goal line, which was really stupid, and it's something that they ran in seven shots. In fact, they ran this exact play, which was Dobbs to Stephen Ridley on the option. They ran it successfully in seven shots, but I believe that was a day when there was no live hitting. Of course it worked in seven shots. It did not work against the Eagles. It was a horrible play. And look, for Randy Fichtner, listen, man, Todd Haley got fired for running a pitch on fourth and one. So maybe cool it with the option on the goal line if you value your job security in any way. I think, you know, again, this is an offense that under Todd Haley was accused of being too cute at times. Randy Fichtner, let's cool it with the option on the goal line. Yesterday, I referred to both of the interceptions as being poor decisions by the quarterback. I do need to revise that. On the first interception by Cody, that was still a bad read by the quarterback. He made a bad read, no doubt about it. But there was a nice job of Cody by kind of carrying the receiver, baiting the quarterback into that throw, and then reading the route combination and coming back for an easy interception. It was nice coverage by Cody, even if it was a poor decision by the quarterback. And for the second interception, the one from Cam Sutton, that was less the quarterback's fault and more the wide receiver's fault. Cam was very physical on the rep. The receiver just never recovered from that, wasn't able to get back into his route, and so it was an easy interception from Cam. But again, good coverage by Cam, good physicality staying with that receiver and forcing him off his route. So again, while both interceptions were definitely fortunate by the defense, you know, what turnovers aren't fortunate by the defense? So good on both guys for coming up in those situations. Sticking with the secondary, Terrell Edmunds, who I was hoping to see more of on tape the second time around, the problem was he was just playing so much underneath zone. There just wasn't a whole lot of tape there of Terrell Edmunds. He had a nice run fill at one point, but just a quiet night overall. There just wasn't much there for Terrell Edmunds. We'll see. I mean, again, he's got three more preseason games to go, and he's going to see plenty of time in those games as well. So there's plenty of time for us to see more of Terrell Edmunds. Sticking on the defensive side of the ball, I thought Keon Adams and Ola Adini, their pass rush in the second half was formidable. Now, I know we talked yesterday about Adini, and he had the big highlight play on the strip sack, but Adams as well had a bunch of nice pass rushes, even if they weren't sacks. I mean, he was in the quarterback's face, forcing him out of the pocket, disrupting the quarterback. That happened three or four times for him. And again, Adini was in there, not just a pass rusher, but he had some really nice run stops as well. So, you know, both guys played really well. And I think it's really surprising to me that Higuain got the start over Adams, over Adini. I thought both Adini and Adams played much better than Higuain, much better than Chiccolo even. We'll get to Chiccolo in a second here. But again, Adams and Adini clearly 4A and 4B when we're talking about outside linebackers on this team. I thought they both did really well last night. And then finally tonight, let's talk about the two big things that stood out to me, which were the run defense and the tackling, both of which were terrible. I mean, they really were terrible, especially from the first unit. And I'm not going to call them the starters because I know there were four guys missing out there. But that first unit that came out on defense, they were bad. And I'm going to preface everything I'm going to say with, I know it's just a preseason game, and I know it's just the first preseason game. We have a lot of football to be played even before the regular season kicks off. And I know that it's not the full complement on defense. We were missing Cam Hayward. We were missing Bud Dupree, TJ Watt, Joe Hayden. I get it. But if the good matters, if we're reading into this new James Conner running style, if there's something to be read into there, if there's something to be read into the fact that James Washington continues to make these combat catches, then there is certainly something to be read into the fact that this team, considering where it left off in 2017 as a poor defense against the run and an even worse team at tackling, has kind of picked up right where they left off and had a bad performance against the Eagles in run defense and in tackling. And let's start where the Steelers were supposed to be strongest, which is on the defensive line. I've said this before. The defensive line and how good they are on the defensive line could cover for some of the things happening behind them. Right? Some of the deficiencies that we have at linebacker could be covered for by the fact that the defensive line is so good. That's not going to be the case the way that they played tonight. And I know Cam Hayward wasn't out there. But man, Stephon Tuitt got mauled. He got mauled tonight on so many occasions, easily pushed around. And not only did that not help the guys behind him, I mean, it exposed them. You really saw the flaws in John Bostic, the flaws in Tyler Matakevich. Let's start on Ajayi's 22-yard run. That's the worst play of the game. to it, easily sealed inside, something we saw a lot. It left a huge hole for Ajayi. I'm not sure what Chicolo's gap assignment was, but man, he ended up inside of John Bostic. I don't know how to, again, maybe that was his assignment, but an outside linebacker inside the inside linebacker, okay. I mean, it doesn't feel right, but maybe. But Bostic should get in there to fill the hole, make the tackle. Instead, he's late getting in the hole. He ends up taking a bad angle because of it, and Ajayi is able to easily power through that tackle. And again, I said this on yesterday's podcast, Bostic, known for his tackling, first play for him, missed tackle. Morgan Burnett comes up from a strong safety spot. He tries to make a tackle, but it's this arm tackle against Ajayi. Again, a strong runner who's able to easily slip off that tackle. Simultaneously to that, Artie's coming up to try and bring him down, and Artie, notoriously bad as a tackler against running backs like this, slips right off. I mean, there's like half a dozen things that went wrong with that play. And it was a common theme that we saw all night, which was Tua getting easily pushed off, leaving Bostic and Matakevich to try and make a play, and they couldn't. And it led to easy 5, 6, 7 yard runs consistently. You look at the Eagles play that they ran to Corey Clement, where they had they faked the end around, then went to Clement for like 8 yards. It was much of the same story, right? They faked the end around, so that holds Chicolo. So he's essentially out of the play. Now, Javon Hargrave, actually, I thought Javon Hargrave, you know, he was the lone bright spot on a front seven that had so much bad tape. I thought he actually played pretty well. He did a good job of getting a push upfield, forcing Clement to turn upfield. And all we needed at that point was a linebacker to fill and make the tackle. And instead, I mean, you find out everything you need to know about Tyler Matakevich and the limitations that he has as a player. Because, you know, not only is he unable to come in and make the tackle there, you know, but his poor agility, poor change of direction means that Clement's easily able to put a move on him, juke him for another 4 yards. So what should have been a play that was bad enough with if Matakevich comes in and stops him for 4 or 5, turns into an 8 yard run because of it. It's just, again, it's the kind of thing that we see from this defense over and over and over again. And I haven't even talked about the missed tackles yet. I mean, I guess I talked about them a little bit with that Ajayi 22-yard run. But the worst of it was Cody Sensabaugh's miss on a 3rd and 4 when he has Corey Clement in his hands, ready, wrap and tackle, and it's just such poor effort. Clement's able to easily throw him off and get the 4 yards for the first down. I mean, that's a play to get off the field on 3rd down, and we had the guy stopped, and we can't make the tackle. Again, I know it's preseason, but I mean, that's the kind of thing that we've seen over and over from this defense that is so, so frustrating to watch. I mean, you go back to that to the Ajayi 22-yard run, right? Because, you know, again, it's the missed tackles make everything about this defense even worse, right? We can all talk about how Tyler Matakevich doesn't have the athleticism to play inside linebacker, and Bostic is just as limited a player, and Vince Williams the same thing, and all of that. But it can all be fixed by just making the tackle at the point of attack, even though Tuitt gets moved off the ball easily on that Ajayi run. If Bostic comes in and fills and makes a tackle, it's a 3 yard gain. If Burnett comes up and makes a tackle afterwards, it's maybe a 5 or 6 yard gain. If Artie's able to bring him down, it's maybe an 8 or 9 or 10 yard gain, but none of those things happen and it ends up a 22 yard gain. And that's the kind of thing where, you know, again, we can all be upset about the fact that the Steelers weren't able to improve enough at inside linebacker, but it's made even worse by the fact that this team is so poor at tackling so often. And it's so frustrating to watch. And then, you know, I mean, Matakevich has the free rush on the quarterback. Could have made a sack. Again, his limited athleticism means that the quarterback's easily able to step out of the way and then throw a touchdown pass. I mean, not to pour it on, but like even John Bostic's best play of the game, which was his 2 yard run stop in the backfield. I mean, that was a blitz that the Eagles ran right into. And that was like the old Tecmo Bowl pick your play type thing, right? So, I mean, there's just so much bad tape for this defense. I mean, it's Bostic, it's Matakevich, it's Tuitt, Chicolo. Even Higuain was getting thrown around out there. Not a good look. Not a good look for a defense that has put an emphasis on stopping the run and being a better tackling football team. Both Ajayi and Corey Clement averaged over 5 yards a carry in this football game. And look, I'm not trying to overreact to this, right? This doesn't mean that the run defense is going to be bad again. I'm just saying it's off to a really bad start. It's off to the kind of start that we didn't want because it looks so much like where we left off. And, you know, so much of what we talked about this offseason is, look, you know, we got better at communication because we got brought in guys like Morgan Burnett and Terrell Edmonds and John Bostic, who were known as communicators, you know, from both their other teams and for Terrell Edmonds in college. We brought in Bostic and Burnett, who were supposed to be much better tacklers, right? For this team to start off this way, how could you not be disappointed by it? And again, I'm not saying that the Steelers defense is bad or it's going to be bad. But it's certainly off to a bad start. And Tua's performance, I guess, is the most concerning, right? Because better play from him could have helped. I mean, or could have hidden some of those deficiencies. The Steelers know what they have to fix. It's tackling. I mean, it is tackling. We're not gonna fix some of the talent issues that we have on this football team. We're not gonna have an all-pro inside linebacker this year, right? The limitations that we have with Matakevich and Bostic are gonna be the limitations that we have with Matakevich and Bostic. That's just gonna be the reality of that situation. For the Steelers to make the best of it, they just have to make the tackle. And they had so many opportunities, they just couldn't get it done. That's where we left off. So, I mean, this was bad tape. I mean, look, bringing Watt back, bringing Bud back, bringing Hayward back, having a real game plan on defense when we start getting into real live game situations in the regular season, I'm sure it will be better than this. This is, again, like I've said, I'm a broken record on this. This is not the way you wanted to see the Steeler defense start in 2018. And I think we can also expect better performances from Tuitt and Chicolo, because we've seen them do better on tape prior. So again, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here. I'm not trying to say that the Steelers defense is terrible or anything like that. I'm just really disappointed that all the lip service that was paid to being a better tackling football team, being a better run defending team, you know, the product is just not there yet on the field. And so hopefully we have three more preseason games to go. This defense has a long way to go in a lot of areas. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry. The Steelers return to practice on both Saturday and Sunday of this weekend. I will be back on Monday to recap both practices right here on Locked On Steelers.